hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. If you've been with us the past few days, you know we've been looking at the design of Christian ministry and something the Apostle Paul shows us here about a pastor's heart in Romans chapter 15 in verses 14 through 21, where he says to them, look, I've had to write to you more boldly on some points, reminding you because of the grace of God given to me. There's that inward struggle that the apostle was dealing with because of the balance of giving hard doctrinal instruction, things that are difficult to take for sinners, confronting our lives, confronting sin, and then to balance that out with the beautiful gospel. And Paul knows that at some points he had been tough. That's ministry. And he's explaining this, that ministry really is addressing the very messy lives of sinners. And you know, it's just interesting that when we look at the design of ministry given, where the commendation comes in the Bible is not where typically we would expect. You know, in 1 Timothy 4, there's an amazing statement. If you instruct, talking to pastors, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the good words of faith. Instruct them in what things? Well, just before that, he said it. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So, if you instruct the brethren in these things, in other words, if you warn them, you will be a good minister. Warn them of error, warn them of departure, warn them of all the false doctrine. What parent would not warn his child if he ran out in the street with oncoming cars? You know what's sad? I said this yesterday and I want to say it again. The first mark of people searching for a church today is the likability of the pastor. Is he a down-to-earth kind of guy? Is he cool, hip? Does he share personal stories from his own personal experience? Is he just a fun-loving guy who can relate, who connects with the youth, who won't press me about my life, who won't address my sin? Is he friendly? These are the sort of things that people look for in a pastor. But sadly, they do not at all measure up to what people in the Bible outlines should be looking for in a pastor. I would suggest that what I'm about to say is that these are the most effective pastors, those who don't soft pedal the word of God, being afraid of offense, because there's a whole offense nature to our ministry. 1 Corinthians 3 says it, and I think this is very important for all of us ministers to consider. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. You hear it? There will be a lot of ministry things going on, and even ministers and pastors who generally over the course of their lives were faithful, but their preaching really never connected to the hearts of their people, so that the people were crushed by the law and pressed for the great need for Christ. Now, there could be a lot of unfaithful ministers doing the same thing. The point is, and I want to say this carefully but clearly, I've heard a lot of good general sermons. And while they've been faithful, there was no real sense that I needed anything. There's no real sense of any warning to turn from anything. No real sense of my life, the problem of my sin, no warnings, nothing penetrating, nothing deep. All of it was very shallow, and I walked out without any real sense of my need for a Savior. Something's wrong in that preaching. Something's very wrong. That's not the kind of preaching that changes hearts. How much of ministry will be burnt up because the minister was afraid to offend? Remember Christ's sermons in John 6? Jesus gives us the model of preaching, and also that he is the mouth, that as we are his mouthpieces, the same sort of preaching should come forth. He spoke as one, remember what they said, having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes and the Pharisees spoke in casual soft talk. Jesus' preaching commanded lives. It commanded lives. It was direct, confrontational. It spoke to people in a direct, personal way about their lives and their need to turn to him. And that's where the rubber really hit the road. In fact, in John 6, Jesus preaches, starts out with 5,000, and by the time it's over, 12 are left. That's a good sermon title, How to Shrink Your Church. Some of the disciples even leave. What does this say? What does Jesus say to them? Does this offend you? Notice that his teaching was strong in offense. There's a whole offense element to what we do. And you have to remember, these are burdens put in the heart by the Lord for the pastor to speak. Peter gives this statement, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. That's an authoritative speaking of the word. God's word is challenging our lives. God's word is exposing sin, which in turn, as painful as that is, God uses to woo sinners to himself by the work of the Holy Spirit through the glorious message of the gospel. And this is why, let me say, I love book preaching. Topical preaching doesn't lend itself to do that. You know, today we're going to stand up and help you deal with your financial problems. This week we're going to help your marriages. I'm not really convinced that's the way preaching should be done. God gave us books, books to be preached through. And if you preach through books, you'll get to all those issues. But topical preaching really doesn't meet the whole design of what God gave. Book preaching does, because if we land on a text that directly addresses a sin in your life, we need to tremble. We can't blame the pastor for preaching at us. God loves us enough to do that, to address our lives. And in his remarkable providence, he's brought to head a sin in your life as the pastor preaches on it consecutively through a book. Boy, you know that's the Lord speaking to you and not the minister with a hobby horse or his agenda or his topics. It's boldness in confronting. That shows a pastor's heart. That shows love. It's not measured by how well he pets the sheep. And Paul is saying, I know I've hit hard. He says that here in Romans 15. I know I've been hard-hitting. I know I've been bold. I know I've spoken so boldly at times that it's been hard for you. That's the same burden, you know, I've experienced, and I would say every faithful minister has experienced. There are times he has to confront. In fact, we've had trials in every single situation, and there's particular circumstances where the minister has to address and bring to bear the word of God on that direct circumstance. What's happening in the life of a church, or what's happening in sin that needs to be addressed. And if especially he lands on it as he's preaching through a text, you know, the Lord is directly speaking to that situation. Paul says this all here, and this is the point I want to get at this week. He's not doing this to discourage. People need to understand this. This is the most loving expression of a minister. He's not doing it to make souls downcast. He's not doing it to crush them and leave them in despair. He's doing and preaching with boldness and conviction all the doctrine given because he's confident concerning them. He's confident that as he exposes, they will turn more to the Lord Jesus. Paul says that here in Romans 15. I'm confident concerning you. In other words, he says, I'm not preaching to make you doubt. I'm not preaching to increase your own struggle. I'm preaching to you here to turn you to the remedy. And so God is my witness. Paul says to the Romans, I pray for you. He's saying, I love you. Every pastor loves the people he preaches to. And he's saying, I want this to grow. He says that I'm confident with you, brethren. And he commends them here that you're full of goodness. This is an encouragement to the congregation after everything he says. He's saying, look, you're not deficient. I'm confident you're being what a church should be. How so? You're full of goodness. He's talking about the Lord's goodness, how the Lord has filled them with goodness. God's people can be hit so hard by their sin, but they can't be left there. Notice the biblical writers are struggling to be pastoral here, that you have to know and be encouraged as Christians. Paul's saying, I'm confident of what the Lord has done, that though by nature there's nothing good, I'm confident of what God is doing in you. I'm confident that the Spirit dwells within you, that you have become a slave of righteousness, so that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are characteristics of you. I'm confident that you're full of these things. And he goes on to say that. He goes on to say that I'm confident of your knowledge, that you are filled with knowledge, the knowledge of the gospel that has brought a transforming life, the power of that. That's true that a pastor should be able to say that about the church, about his church that he's ministering to. And you'll notice the third thing he says here, that you're also able to admonish one another. Able to admonish. Do we do this? Able to correct a church full of erring, if there are erring people, that the church is full of people who are able to do this. Paul is commending them to encourage them. So you see the contrast here. He wrote some things that are very hard to understand, which shows his love for them, but he also wants to encourage them on the other hand, that they are full of the Lord's goodness, filled with his knowledge, and that they're able to admonish one another in the Lord's ways. That is what ministry is. So essentially what he's saying is don't ever lose sight that the Spirit is in you, that the Spirit is working, that the Spirit is changing you, that he is committed to you. And that's why Paul says, I've written boldly to you on some points, reminding you, God is my witness. I pray for you. But you got to understand the design of ministry. So do you see the balance that we've wrestled through here? There's the balance of writing boldly about sin and confrontation, and then the wooing power of the gospel, but also the encouragement factor. And that's what the Lord is teaching us here in Romans chapter 15, that we would look earnestly to Christ for our deliverance and that we would understand what ministry is. Are you receiving this kind of ministry, a law and a gospel ministry, where the law crushes, gospel can give you great hope, as we are turned to Christ and encouraged in his person and work.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com, find out a bit more about us, take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.